Well, hello there, my friends. Chris Marcus here with you for Arcata Economics. And good afternoon on a Friday. We're on October 17th, 2:35 p.m., recording live on what has been an experience in the gold and silver markets today, where, as I'm guessing you may be well aware, price is down quite a bit, although, geez, look at them recover. Wow, I was setting up this video for the last couple minutes, getting things ready, and gold was down $70. So silver is down well over $3, both the spot and futures. And we'll take a look at everything that is going on because been quite a wild, I mean, a historic week to begin with, and then obviously a very eventful Friday afternoon, as we can see here. And all right, looks like we are coming through live. So let's go first to the silver spot price, which was getting absolutely torched, still down. I mean, there you go. There's an experience for you. Silver's down 235, although as we near 3 o'clock on the East Coast, you're feeling a little better than a while ago. Because here we can see the low of the day at 5087. Yep, let's call that 5060, 5061. Where's our low of the day here? 5061 it is. So $1.25 higher since then. Similar picture in the futures, which we will get right here. We're now down 264 on the day. And you can see the low of the day was 49.68. And we're about a dollar higher on the futures, too. Similar picture in gold, as you might imagine. Let us get our 1 day chart here. Gold was down quite a bit more at 42.56 right now. And you see it was down below 4,200 a tick at 41.97. So what is going on? Why are the metals down today? Well, I guess the simple short answer, let's go over to the silver chart. Let's take a look at the 3 month chart to put this one in perspective, because I've been looking back at this. Here we have, well, we could take the July 30th, where you had got down to 36.28, although let's go to this one instead. Dollar higher, okay, but still August 18th. Today's Friday, October 17th. So in 2 months, silver has gone from $37 to 53, 54 on the spot price. So, I mean, it's like on one hand, it's been fantastic if you're a gold and silver investor, or you're long gold and silver, or light gold and silver, or use them as door stoppers to see just how steadily. I mean, there's a couple slight pullbacks, but man, anyone who's been following this through the, let's say 2011 through 2018 or 19, used to be, you'd get, you know what a pullback feels like. And so here we have this one, significant pullback today, obviously. Encouraging to see it already stabilize and rallying back in both silver prices and the gold price. And I guess here's the thing. I would say, well, this is what's going to happen, or that's what's going to happen next week. I've been doing this show since I think 2018 or 2019. I don't think there's anyone who knows right now what is going to happen this week or next week, rather. I'll tell you what's going to happen this week. Spot price is going to be about 50, 65 Friday afternoon at 2:40. Although, perhaps this would be a good time to mention, though, that I said yesterday that I had some news because I had a phone call to go do and wanted to make sure it was appropriate to mention. But as you've seen, if you watched the channel before, if not, a great time to hit that subscribe button right down there. Get the notification bells while you're at it so you can stay posted. But you've seen me post a lot of comments from Robert Gottlieb, who is the former JP Morgan Precious Metals Managing Director. I had reached out to him a couple months ago to see if he might be interested in doing an interview. And I don't know, maybe he was scouting me out, although in either case, got in touch with him last week. We've been talking via email. Talked to him for about an hour yesterday, and one hand, it's just interesting with everything that we've covered on this channel since the whole JP Morgan saga a couple of years back, that here we would be today with $50 plus silver. And yesterday I was talking to someone who was working at the JP Morgan Precious Metals desk. And I mean, we'll touch on some of the things. I mean, largely we were in agreement with many of the things I've been saying here, especially what's going on with the silver spread. And I think that he is going to be up for an interview. I don't want to hold him to that, although he's expressed that he'd be up for that. So hopefully in a couple of weeks we'll have Bob on the channel. And certainly just very interesting with talking with someone with that direct of access to the gold and silver markets. I had my days as a Wall Street trader back in my misguided youth. I was young, I needed the money. But I mean, I was trading equity options, which I think you learn a lot about trading in the Wall Street environment. Yet, to speak with someone who was in his position, seeing what he's seen, and directly trading the gold and silver COMEX futures. Just very interesting to hear the things that he had to share. So also let us get an update on that spread, because that has been interesting. I mean, it's been pretty fascinating, I guess, when it first started, but especially last Thursday. And I'm talking about this spread between the futures here. Futures is one with DEC 25 next to it, and then spot price, the XAG USD. So it got really wild last Thursday when I was getting ready to post Vince Lancey's morning update. Remember, the spread was with the spot price $1.20 over. Now, keep in mind, that's not just $1.20 out of line, because normally the futures trade over that anywhere, depending on how close you are to expiration, 0 to 20 or 30 cents or so in normal conditions. So posting Vince, I'm like, wow, that spread really blew out. It'd been probably under a dollar the day before, and it's $1.20 as we're posting Vince at 9 a.m. Then remembers looking at it, and then I went to do something. Maybe it was to walk my dog, and I looked back, and it's like an hour later, it had blown out to 250, got as high as $3. And again, since normally that's an inverted spread, that means it's really $3.20 out of line if the spot price is trading $3 over. Hopefully that makes sense. I'll take a look at the comments if anybody needs me to explain that one again. I'll try and make sure that all of this is clear. And what started happening is that basically you have this shortage of silver in London. You have a lot of silver over here in the COMEX, which is fascinating. There's a shortage of silver in London. Now they have a shortage of silver in India, and here where we have it as a strategic critical mineral, somehow the US has ended up hoarding most of the silver. Some of it did start going back over the past couple of days. We saw the withdrawals really grow ever since last Thursday. And here's the interesting part, though, is that they were between 2 and 5 million ounces. They've been under 1 million ounces a day. Then this happens last Thursday. They start spiking to between 2 to 5 million ounces. And then, sure enough, when the spread came in, got back down to about 60 cents at one point the other day, 60, 70 cent range. And yet the withdrawals that they shared yesterday were under 1 million again. So what's happening is that when the spread gets wide enough over in London, people are taking metal. We saw the Bloomberg reports. They're putting it, they're booking planes and getting it back over there. But when the spread narrowed, there's less economic incentive. So it's really a bind they're in, because either the spread stays out of line if they want to keep getting metal, or if the spread narrows, you see it's been wild seeing, you get to see it on a day-by-day basis, how that affects how much metal goes there. That was one of the things that I talked quite a bit with Bob about, because I was thinking, well, all right, if India has halted redemptions, or not redemptions, they've halted, you can't purchase new shares in the silver ETFs because they don't have silver to add to it right now. So they've halted that. And we'll come back to India in a second, because that's quite mind-boggling. Dynamic you have there where a price-sensitive buyer Surging imports at a time when the price is near record high, so the opposite of what normally happens. And now, in the middle of an Indian mania, you're telling them they can't have it, which reminds me of Costco and toilet paper back during COVID. So we'll see what happens. I wonder if that couldn't at least increase demand somewhat higher than it otherwise would have been in India if you're taking it away, right? Well, they're saying they really want it, but presumably, you would think that some of that metal that left the COMEX would be going to. I was thinking it would go back to London and then get redirected to India. That was one thing Bob mentioned, that it could, it also could go directly there. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see what happens when, in the art all the articles I've read, they've said we're expecting it in the next shipment, which seemed to be in a week or two. Now, I remember writing about that last Friday. I think I saw it last Thursday. I've not seen any indication that that shortage, which again was not a global silver shortage, but specific to India, I think it's fair to say that they are experiencing a silver shortage right now because they don't have what they need. And, again, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens when the shipment comes through. Does that get snapped up immediately, and then they have another shortage? And also, speaking of shortages, let me, oh yeah, we also had this yesterday. Vince Lancey pointed this one out, where the Royal Mint warns of delivery delays as Londoners rush for silver. Rush of orders from retail investors has prompted a ramp up in output. And the Royal Mint is warning of possible delays in silver deliveries as it races to replenish its reserves. I did talk with Mike DiRienzo from the Silver Institute. Actually, maybe this is an appropriate time to say this because I know there's a couple of fellows out there who have been quite critical of Michael. And by all means, I've always found that this the process of how many ounces of silver went to every specific location. There's a bit more art than science. So I don't think there's an exact set of numbers, but I know Michael quite well. I talk to him quite often. If they were intentionally being misleading with the numbers, I would absolutely be stunned. And perhaps I'll just leave it at that. But I did not think it was appropriate. So many, a couple of the folks who have written a lot of things that accuse them of something otherwise. So, with that said, it was nice to be able to actually talk to Michael and ask him, well, most of the silver that they produce at the Royal Mint, where does that go? I mean, is that being exported? He's like, no, most of it's England. So now we have a surge in British demand to the point where you have delays here. Global surge in demand for precious metals has boosted silver prices by more than 80% in London's wholesale market this year, with a fresh wave of orders from banks and other institutional buyers culminating in a historic squeeze that Jeff Currie once said was impossible because the shorts are the ETFs illegally violating their own prospectus. And inventories in London's vaults are critically low, and fresh stock is being flown in from as far as New York. Okay, so it sounds like in England, they're buying a lot of silver, and now it's a little vague, the wording. Are they out yet? Are they warning of delays? I wasn't entirely clear on that, but that's what hit me yesterday. Where again, if you watch the channel, you've heard I've been, always trying to be careful and clear because I understand, especially in the silver world, if you say shortage, takes on one meaning. And I think when you hear the word shortage, I think what most people often, the example, you hear everyone use the same example. I've been guilty of this too, in that, when Samsung or an Apple can't get their silver. Well, here is the Royal Mint. Okay, they're not an industrial manufacturer, they're manufacturing a different type of product, but here is a business that depends on silver as an input to make the products they sell. And right now they're indicating they can't get it. And when you think, well, is that really all that different than if an Apple or Samsung had said the same thing? Obviously, in some ways it is different because different portion of the supply chain. But this also, now it's not just India. And I know a lot of you are seeing the various reports of local coin shops in this country, stop selling silver, can't get it here. I did see Brian Kuzmar of Commercial Rare Coins that we had on Monday. Saw him for dinner last night. He was saying the refiners are still just really backed up, and that right now there's only one LBMA approved refiner in the US that is processing anything. So, not the same, Royal Mint, not the same as Apple or Samsung, but we do now have a business that counts on silver to stay in business and make their product. And they're warning of delays. And now is not just India, depending on how you want to do the accounting of what we were hearing from coin shops of other places, you could say it's not just London either. So we will see. Let's take a look back to the spread, see how it is now. And so it had gotten down to 60 to 70 cents. Remember last night. And then even earlier today was around that level, but we see 50, 58 for the spot futures price, rather. 51.83 for the spot. So that's $1.25 right now. What else is that saying? Well, you had the spread blow out to $3, then it came back in. I guess, thing was on its way to being resolved. Theoretically, maybe you see it just continue back down until it uninverts. But we saw the spread come back down, and now it's going back up, not to the same extreme levels that it was at, but it's higher, which again, it's like when people want to know, like, well, what's it going to do next? Or what is the price going to do next? Keep in mind, we're in uncharted territory here. This isn't something where it's like, yeah, well, I've seen this every 10 times a year since 1973. I mean, this has not happened before. I'm curious what happens. It looks like about 15 to 20 million ounces have left the COMEX already. I guess the spread could go even invert even higher. Here's what I wonder though. If it was up at $3 the other day, well, I guess I just f figured out the answer to my own question, but I often wonder where it's like, all right, if it's there and people are sending some back, at what point is it like, well, all right, if they were going to send it back at $3, now maybe that's not a day or 2 days, and it's probably longer than a week. Maybe if it stayed there longer, there would be other parties that would do that. And I guess we didn't entirely find metal was still going until the spread came down, but there's also that degree to which all of that silver that's in the COMEX, is held by different groups and different parties. Are some saying, well, maybe it's $60 silver, I would start sending some back. So I don't know that I would assume that everything would go on day one, but I mean, what I'm trying to say is that maybe 15 million ounces is, or 20 million ounces is what's willing to go over under the current conditions. But hopefully I'm putting that in context, like, because it's just fascinating how you're seeing this change by the minute here and what it is implying. And certainly quite a historic time. So I'll take a quick look over before we cover the India solar bombshell, if there are any questions that are coming up in the chat. And someone says, can anyone link me to the Perth Mint stoppage news? So I guess that means Perth having issues again. I remember the Perth Mint from back in the day. We had fun with them back in 2021. Interesting. Refiners refining gold rather than silver as making, say, 30 per ounce is easier than. I'm pretty sure I remember reading that because I was wondering why is it the refiners are so backed up? Was it just that they have so much product that they've been buying back? I've been hearing reports of now a lot of the local coin shops lowering their bids because they can't sell it. But I did hear someone mention something about how the refiner capacity that they can make more money on other products. So they're switching over to that, and you just don't know, or there's just not a place to take that other silver right now. So I'll give this another minute. If anyone has any particular questions, send them in there now. Taking a look. We are lucky in the US. We can still buy silver ounces now, but for how long? Well, we'll find out. I mean, it's been mixed what I've been hearing out of the coin shops, where it's like there's been disruptions. I don't think you could say we have a silver shortage in the US. And again, price is going to, as all the prices go higher, that can bring more metal out. As the price in different locations goes higher, that can direct more specifically where metal is coming from and going to. And okay, so I think we got the questions that came in there. Let us take a look. We won't keep you too long here today. But yeah, this was the other one that came out right as I was watching these spreads float around. And India draft plan revealed $21 trillion net investment need. And then, again, they have all these different terms for climate change, and although there was your key green right there. I'm thinking, is did they just say 21 trillion? Or are they talking about green energy? Oh yeah. So at the same time that India has a surge in investment demand, and I'm sure the surge also, there's industrial in there too, because the idea that India is going solar is not necessarily new, but 21 trillion, that's a few bucks. And that estimate offers a first glimpse of how the country intends to live up to its target emissions by 2070. So if that's the first glimpse, well, I would say normally you're going to just expect this number to get bigger, which most likely it will, although do they abandon it somewhere along the lines before 27 or before 2070? And I guess not the easiest time to be making any sort of predictions 45 years ahead of time. But anyway, let's skip. They're talking about climate change, world's biggest polluters. But then right down here, you find the bullseye. Cost of power from nuclear plants is still unknown. But I don't expect regulators to approve plants with high price tariffs. All right, so it doesn't seem like Neschwin Rodriguez thinks they're going to go nuclear. But here we go. Regardless of climate targets, the country is expected to build out a huge amount of solar and wind power alongside batteries, which I don't know what kind of batteries they're building, but good chance they will require silver. And India will rely heavily on electrification, and they are at least looking around the mattresses for about $21 trillion to dump into that sector. So there you have it. And hopefully, on a day after, I know it was an intense week with a lot of emotions, and you're not necessarily happy about the silver prices being down as much as they are. Well, India, at least according to their plans, put a longer term bid in the market. Now, after I wrap this one up, I don't know if I'm going to have to call Bill Murphy again. I think a lot of you know Bill Murphy of GATA, dear long timer in gold and silver. And just a quick story here. I check in on Bill from time to time as he's, getting older now. And for years it was, silver would be sitting in the teens or the 20s. And every time you called Bill, you'd say hello. And then there'd be a minute of, oh, this silver sucks. I can't believe I waited this long. And so I'm driving back from dinner last night thinking, all right, I'll give Bill a call. He's got to be finally in a good mood. Turns out even before this sell-off, Bill was not happy at all. And he's saying like, this thing sucks. I can't believe it's down. I'm thinking, Bill, are we looking at the same price feed here? So the tragic part is that if Bill was not happy last night, I probably won't call him this afternoon. I don't know if he's going to be in the mood to talk, or maybe I'll try and cheer him up. Who knows? Yet, still, I get it. Depending on anyone's way they see things or what they're doing may feel differently yet. If nothing else, you have gold spot down 91, futures down 56, and it's still over 4,200 bucks. You have silver futures down 269, spot down 226, and they're both still over 50 bucks. And if I had told you that at any point in time prior to this morning, it would have seemed like the greatest news ever. So hopefully you're not getting upset out there. And plus, I think it's really encouraging that we see the rebound. Again, gold was down quite a bit more than the 55 it's down now. So, we'll see what happens in the next couple of days and next couple of weeks. Also, I mean, when you look at these rallies, there was some point which a sell-off was overdue, happened to be today. Although, I guess one, two last notes here before we wrap up. Here's the AGQ, which was down even quite a bit more. It was down, I think, 11 or 12%. And I talked with our dear colleague and friend, Vince Lancey, about this before. And by all means, do not do this. This is not in any way recommended or probably not a good idea. Although we've talked about how, gee, if you just blindly bought some call options on anything that's down over 6% in a day and bought some puts on anything that's up over 6% in a day, I don't know, it could work out well. And I've never back tested that. So I could be completely wrong here, but I took my shot on some AGQ options expiring today. I called our dear Arcadia audience member, Daryl's crystal ball. He thought we were near the bottom. I took a little stab at it. And let's see if I can check in. I'm not going to show you my brokerage screen, but I paid 40 cents on the AGQ 88 strike calls expiring today and had gone up a little bit. So I had to put an offer in at 95 cents to sell those right before we started. And let's see if we got filled here. No. Okay. Well, it's going to act a little bit the other way. So there you go, kids. That's why option trading only under appropriate circumstances and in the right time and right risk parameters. But just interesting to see. And I don't know, maybe I'll get something that will extend out to next week. I guess if you're of the school of thought that, well, no question about this being a huge move down. If you think there's going to be a rebound, sometimes that can work out. Has been a while since I've done any option trading. I got my clock clean pretty good a couple times, so I've yet to have one where I've won big and then kept it. So that's why I don't come on here giving you option trades, but hopefully just offering some entertainment in the gold and silver markets, as well as I'd like to think we are providing a lot of good information that's helpful too, which we do daily at the Substack. Today's recap is out. And perhaps just before we wrap up, I'll see if, well, let me take a look if any questions are coming in. If you have a question, fire that in there now. How much over spot do you have to pay for those Eagles? Someone is asking. Looks like someone bought Eagles out there today. And I'm not sure what the margin is on Eagles, although it sounds like some of the premiums are going up. And any other questions? Last trade at 65 cents, says Daryl. Sell, baby, sell. Yeah, I'll get down there and take a look. What brokerage and platform do you trade on? I currently use Charles Schwab. Not for any like particular reason of pro or con. I had a TD Ameritrade, which turned into Charles Schwab. Well, that would be kind of nice to be at TD Ameritrade because obviously Daniel Galley, TD Securities, I'd like to say congratulations to him. I mean, he's been writing about this for the silver squeeze you can walk into for a while. And then he came out last month and said, hey, we're getting in the danger territory with these London, New York spreads. And we're 4 to 7 months from running into an issue, and it happened in a month. So I've been quite grateful for his research. Certainly talked about it plenty on here, and what a badass epic call that he made there. And anyway, I guess as we wrap up, I will let you know something I'm quite excited and proud of. As many of you know, I'm a musician, and I've been meaning doing a lot of work behind the scenes the last couple of years, and been meaning to get some sort of new site up, and I've really enjoyed Substack. So we do have the Arcadia Music Substack is now launched. The first post is up and live. And hold on one moment. I actually just got a new guitar toy. Many of you old timers might have heard of the Ebow, which is this cool little device. So here, I'll give you a second on what it sounds like. There you go. You don't need to pick it. You just hold that thing with the blue light and. So, in case anybody wants to hold a note longer than your neighbors would ever imagine or want, that is at arcadiamusic.substack.com. So, get away from the computer screen for a while. Price is down. It'll go down some days. It'll go back up. And if you want some music to guide you into the weekend, head on over to arcadiamusic.substack.com. Thank you again to everyone who's been here this week, everyone who's followed this Silver Story for all these years it's been going on. And sell off today aside, I hope you're just excited and feeling good about everything you've done in preparing for this. So, with that said, have a great weekend. Anything wild happens over the weekend, maybe I'll do a short update, but otherwise, we will see you back here on Monday.